have an army.
We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 88 of We Have a Hulk podcast. I'm your host, Nicola.
And I'm your other host, Chris.
What games are you talking about in this week's episode then, Chris?
So we're going to do At Home with the Hulks. We've got the SDCC trailers, which we're going to talk about briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Mission Impossible Fallout review.
Bum, bum, ba-da, bum, bum, ba-da-da.
And then an interview with Sarah Grayley.
Mm-hmm. So she's a British comic writer and illustrator who's been on Kim Reaper and Rick and Morty, Lil Poopy Stupid. I can never say that right. Lil Poopy Superstar. Good old Rick and Morty, eh?
Cool.
And what are you going to be talking about in this week's Hulk topics then, Chris?
So, we got the best moustaches in film.
Of course, inspired by the one and only Henry Cavill's moustache.
Of course.
It was caused all those problems with Justice League. But was it worth it, is the question.
Ooh. Well, I think it had other issues as well. So.
Yes, well, maybe. So, At Home with the Hulks, what have you been watching, reading and doing the past week then, Chris?
Well, doing, we went to Crete, didn't we?
We did,
quite
yes.
a big thing that we did.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. It wasn't long enough.
No. You like start enjoying it like yeah. the last couple of days, really, don't you?
I was really sort of resting into it. What do right. I mean? Like
getting into it? I don't know. Getting into the swing of things.
Relaxing.
Oh, okay. It. Right.
It's what I meant to say on the last sort of day, really. It takes a while to sort of wind down,
yeah,
doesn't it? And
definitely.
Then it's like, oh, we're leaving.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we might need to do some more like 10-day holidays or something, I think.
Maybe, yeah. Yes. But yeah, we went to like the Palace of Knossos, which was interesting because it might be all fake. Nobody knows.
Yeah,
it's like
fraud.
An interpretation of, I think this is this and I think that is that, but
yeah.
we're not 100% sure.
The guy that kind of discovered it and was unearthing it.
Yes.
He was kind of applying a lot of mythology that wasn't actually, like, yeah, there was no evidence of it, essentially.
No,
so
no.
It's complete fraud, as far as we know.
But it looks pretty cool. I mean, I like visiting
nice.
Those kind of
yeah.
things.
We also went on a boat excursion to Spinalonga Island. That was,
yes,
that was good.
Indeed.
I really
like
those boat trips and stuff. Yeah, it was like a leper colony until sometime.
And I think it was taken over by, like, Turkish forces at some point.
Okay. I don't think it was that long ago. Like,
no, it's crazy,
yeah.
isn't it?
So, yes, we went with a couple of friends, Nathan and Evelyn.
Yes.
Good times.
Very, very hot. Even like the local guy in the restaurant was like, yeah.
it's too hot.
It's too hot. But you live here. It's like Africa.
Yeah, I feel like I was starting to acclimatize by that
yeah.
point as well. So I was like, oh, really? Okay.
But it was one of those, it was that like clammy heat where literally you'd walk down the road and you'd be like, your t-shirt would be sweating.
Yeah, yeah, right? yeah. You can't have like a backpack
can't
on.
Can't escape it. No.
You can't have like anything too clingy on your clothes because it would just, yeah. Yes.
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 Good trip.
Yeah.
Nicola, you also went to London Film Comic Con.
I did. Yesterday. Well, Sunday. Sorry.
Yes.
Sunday I went to London Film Comic Con. I've had a photo op with Jason Momoa. That was the main reason I went. But I also met Ray Fisher, who plays Cyborg, Zachary Levi from Shazam, and obviously Chuck, and Tom Welling, who was in Smallville and Lucifer. So that was pretty cool. I also met Dan Slott, who is a writer, quite a big writer on Spider-Man previously, and he's going to be doing Fantastic Four soon. He was super nice, like seriously really really nice, and he's just so chatty. And apparently he was like, because we had to wait in line for quite a while because he went to have a photo op with Christopher Eccleston.
Okay.
I thought that was
nice.
Quite funny. Apparently he's like this huge Doctor Who nerd.
I like
I was
that
like,
idea.
Oh, that's,
I like,
nice.
That's nice. Yeah,
and he was just like signing people's comics for free. He was taking like a long time to just chat to them about everything, taking loads of photos. I really should have got a photo with him because he was doing like the Spider-Man poses and things.
Cool.
But I just, you know, when you don't quite get the courage to do
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
So
you
yeah.
need to work up to it, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
You got a few things signed and stuff, didn't you?
Yes, got a couple of pops signed, so probably be giving them away at some point.
Cool. Look
That's
forward to those
cool.
guys.
Yes. Also, Ray Fisher, Gotta say, super, super nice. Like, really, really nice. Considering he's been in, like, a huge film, he genuinely took the time out to talk to everyone. Because you don't really get that in, like, these kind of things. So you just kind of sign it and then you go sort of things. But he was actually like, you know, how are you sort of thing. And he was talking to me about how Jason Momoa always drags him out to all these parties and things. So he was like, I'm really tired. And I was like, okay. And then he was like, but don't get me wrong. I mean, the relationship we had, like, on set and stuff, and him and Jason Momoa and Ezra Miller, apparently they like were really, really, really close on set and stuff. I thought that was really nice.
What about
Henry Cavill and Gal Gadot?
Yeah.
didn't mention that. Didn't mention those guys.
Was he hanging around with them, or was he just sort of stomping around?
But yeah, I did ask him about the solo film because it was announced quite a while ago, but things have kind of gone a bit dead since then. And he said he's no news, which is a shame, but he said apparently we find out first before he does.
Didn't I hear something about them like replacing him or something?
I don't know. I really like his cyborg though, so
I feel like the film was just, it wasn't a success, was it? Do you know what I mean? No. And so now they're probably looking to change things. And do you think
maybe sad though, because I really like Ezra Miller as well as the Flash. I thought it was great. It was just like kind of awkward and good. Sweet and dull. But yeah, Jason Momoa, that was amazing. I had this most awkward time though. I told Chris the story yesterday, but there was a giant fan, actual fan, not fan. How do you, fan that blows air, right? Because it was super, super warm in there. And the fan was straight ahead of Jason Momoa. And my hair was like kept flicking up. And they took the photo, and I must have like had a hand to my head to try and flatten my hair because it was going woo. And they took it while I was doing that, and I was like, no, I put 75 pounds and I've got this crazy photo. And then I was like, oh no. And the photographer was like, next. And then Jason Momoa obviously realized what had happened, and he was really nice. He turned the fan round and he was like, can you do another one? I was like, thank you so much. I don't know whether it was he being nice or I didn't move. I don't know. But I'm hoping it's because
just sort of standing by his side there.
Yeah.
So it's creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think, he would get complaints if people had bad pictures, right?
Yeah,
so
true.
If he notices one's gone wrong, he's going to sort it out pretty quickly. Get you turned around, get you out the door, get the next bunker in.
But yeah, that guy is a beast. I was absolutely tiny standing next to him, and I felt like my head was like the same size as his arms.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it was my turn to come around, I was kind of a bit like, I don't know what to say. I'm just like, so yeah, crazy.
That's why I don't like these things. I just I can't handle it. It's too much for me.
I didn't know what to say to Zachary Levi, so I kind of went a bit into meltdown and was like, I met my boyfriend at a Chuck convention. And he was like, that's really cool. And I was like, yeah, we're still together. It was like, great. I was like, thank you. It was what we're like, who is this person?
That's probably the kind of thing they like, I think.
Yeah,
right?
I kind of hope so. Maybe. But it was like, yeah, maybe you should thank the creators of the show as well. I was like, okay.
Personally, go find everyone and thank them. Yeah.
Overall, it was really, really good. But the only problem was the photo shoot area, because they completely sold way too many, and it was just like this giant crowd had assembled, and you had to fight your way through to get to the actual
A lot of them weren't actually supposed to be there kind
of thing. A lot of them I think were just like trying to take photos of him and things, and they were just crowding around, and don't like it. I don't like crowds at the best of times.
They should have like a doorway where they're like checking tickets and you go through
queue
somewhere else,
definitely
out of the main.
Well, I think like in the main hall, that's what happens in the main hall, but when you have like these big photo shoots, like they had loads of the Doctor Who ones yesterday, and then Ken Major had the same problem. People just can crowd around, but it's like it's not like an aisle, but it's not a hall, so it's not got the capacity to fit that many people in. And they were just like, Batch 3! And you're like, what's everyone saying? And then it kind of like concertinaed down the sort of it was
it's
like
nice
Chinese
that
whispers.
People were trying to help each other out and passing that information back, because I can imagine like a lot of times in the UK people are just like, whatever.
I haven't actually had a photo shoot for like 8 years with obviously with Zachary Levi, as I mentioned. It wasn't a pleasant experience before meeting Jason Momoa, but I think it kind of was worth it to meet him. But okay. Yeah, maybe they organized it a little bit better or something.
Sure.
I don't know.
Do the picture. You know, stick it up on a wall somewhere.
I don't know. Maybe put it on the shelf. Yeah, I want to put because I got some Shazam photo signs as well. I'd quite like to put that up, I think.
Okay.
I think that's quite a cool looking picture.
Need to get some frames.
We do need to get some frames.
Cool.
Mm. So, watching? Sorry, we talked a long time about what we've been doing.
It's fine. This is the best bit. Anyway, Handmaid's Tale?
Yes. Oh, gosh, that program.
Honestly.
What is it doing to us? Why do we still watch it? It's crazy.
I love it. It's
an amazing show, but it's one you like go through things watching it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we can talk about it at all for any remote chance of spoilers.
But it's hugely frustrating. That's what you need to know.
Yeah. I mean, things happen and then there's like progress and then it goes back like two steps and you're like,
every time.
Yeah.
Preacher.
Season 3. Yeah, season 2, I didn't really enjoy all that much. At the start I did. I was like, oh, we got Saint the Killers. We've got them actually going to try and find God and stuff. It's more like the actual graphic novels, which is great. But then I feel like it just kind of meandered at the end. And it didn't really kind of...
Sure.
Yeah.
I really like it. I really like the whole show. I really like its kind of... comedy and its irreverence and everything
right.
about it.
First
episode of this season I wasn't sure about. It was a little bit too sort of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
Or something. And I was a bit like, oh, I'm not sure about this. But I'm completely on board now. I'm loving it.
I'm really enjoying season 3 actually. A lot more than season 2. He's gone back to, is it Jacksonville? What's it called?
Angelville,
that's the one.
I'm not sure if that's true.
He's got his grandma there who's like into witchcraft. What would you call it? Like voodoo stuff or
some sort of voodoo thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And it's a bit creepy.
It's a bit strange.
Yeah. And then there's like her two henchmen who he grew up with and
Are they supposed to be family? Are they family?
No, they're not actually family. She's the grandma and the other two, like, is it TC and I can't remember the other guy's name. They're just like her henchmen and bodyguards. Sort of thing.
Okay, fair enough.
It's interesting, and it's interesting to see what's his face again, the Jesus guy, Humperdude.
Yeah, that's really funny.
I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen with Humperdude, to be honest.
And hairstyle as well.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite characters actually. I really quite like him.
It's great.
Yeah. So yeah, enjoying this series so far. It is a lot darker though. Can it be a lot darker?
I don't know. I think it's just the sort of
creepier.
It's a little bit creepy. It's a little bit more horror almost. Mm. Like, it started off a bit more horror, and I think that was why I was worried.
Oh, okay. Because like the tombs and things.
But that's fine, actually. I'm on board with it.
Okay.
It's not
interesting.
They keep it lighthearted. I don't think it's could have got a lot darker and a lot more kind of dreary.
I mean, Cassidy, he's hilarious.
Yeah, I
think he's the one that kind of... And I like Tulip. She's quite funny as well.
How much she loves
like a fight and stuff.
Yeah.
And they just end up fighting each other all the time. But they're still kind of... family/friends. I don't know, it's strange, isn't it? I don't know, weird. What else?
We started Orange is the New Black season 6.
Yes,
we're about 20 minutes into the first episode.
It was a weird start, wasn't it?
I'm not sure yet.
No,
maybe it's okay. I think it's the same. We'll have to see what happens because they haven't really set up any...
Well, they're obviously in a new prison.
Yeah.
Spoilers, maybe, if you haven't seen the last one. There was a big riot in the last series because of that awful thing that happened, which was super sad. And yeah, so that some of them are at a new prison.
And there's some sort of cover-up going on. And
there's
that. We'll see. I have to watch more of it. We've only 20 minutes in, so.
But apparently the guy who plays Prometheus from Arrow is actually going to star in it soon. So I'm quite excited about that. Josh Segarra.
Interesting.
He's pretty cool.
As a guard?
Yes.
Okay.
So that might be... He plays good, well, and he plays villain really well. So I'm like, which one's he going to be? Intriguing.
A bit of both?
I also started a new TV show called Sharp Objects, and this is with Amy Adams.
I saw you watching this on the plane.
Yeah, it's a HBO show. I think it's about, I think it's like a mini series, so like 5 or 6 episodes, I think.
Oh, okay.
If I'm, I've only watched the first one, but it's super good. But like quite slow paced. It's quite like meandering, but kind of very arty. And yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's captivating.
I was watching you watching it. Right. I was sort of watching it from
afar.
From afar. Yeah. And I couldn't hear it, obviously, but I was kind of captivated by what I was seeing. I think the visuals are really great on it.
Yeah, really, really good.
The wet shot and everything, and just the pace looks quite nice. I think I will probably enjoy this one, so I need to...
catch up on the first one, and then we can watch more.
Yes.
But yeah, basically the premise is she's a reporter. Where she used to come from, it was kind of the South, deep South, sort of. You know, the stereotypical sort of portrayal of, I don't know, am I digging myself a hole?
Sure, let's go with that.
So basically there was start to be like child abductions and murders. Mm. So her boss sends her to investigate. But then it brings back a whole load of memories for her. And I think something happened with her sister. And it's very interesting.
All very intriguing. Mm.
So, yeah, I think I definitely would recommend that if you like that kind of slow pace, slow burn sort of thing. Very artsy, but intriguing sort of thing.
Cool.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool. And I started Star Wars Rebels. And that was pretty good, actually. I'm not a huge fan of the animation, but I think once you get into it, you probably don't notice it much. But I really love all these sort of references to things. And I saw there was Wookiees, which was amazing because they're my favourite. And there was C-3PO and R2-D2 and stuff. And I kind of like the connectiveness of it. So I think I'll probably watch a bit more. I know it's probably not one for you, Chris, but...
Yeah, I mean, I do love Star Wars, but I'm not a huge fan of animation in general. And so I don't know if it's just sort of big-headedness kind of prevented me from watching it, you know, because I really love the original 3.
Right.
And I don't need it.
Don't
all
want to tarnish them.
Do you know what I mean? So much stuff going on. It's like, I'm not sure I need all this.
Right.
That's kind of my position. Maybe I'll give it a go at some point. I don't know.
At films.
Well, we watched Mission Impossible Fallout. We also watched the original Mission Impossible.
Wow. It's like a blast from the past. This was like 1996, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, they were like floppy disks. They were like those big headphones, you know, the foam headphones though, with the like wire. Oh, I hated those. Wow, so there was like the chewing gum explosive things.
That's quite good. I like that.
The monitors as well were just gigantic, weren't they?
The old giant CRT monitors and everything. Yeah,
it was great watching it again. He looked so young, Tom Cruise, though, didn't he?
Looks super young. It's strange. Yeah. I always thought of him as like one of these people that never aged, but then. Yeah. When you look back and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I get
it. Yeah,
he totally did. He aged.
But yeah, for me, it seemed a bit camp. I don't know what you thought. I really enjoyed it, but it did seem a bit campy.
I think it is one of the... It's the original... I don't know if you ever watched the original series of, like, Mission Impossible, because my mum used to like that, so I saw a couple of those. And it was very... It's much like those old school kind of James Bond films and stuff, where it's very kind of... have all the weird gadgets.
Well, like Roger Moore sort of James Bond. Yeah.
Maybe. And they have all the gadgets and, you know, it's very kind of that fun spy thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how that holds up nowadays. And they definitely tried to do some of that in the latest film, didn't they? So...
Interesting.
With masks and things.
It's always the masks
always
and
the
masks.
Sets. That's like the big thing for Mission Impossible, isn't it? With the masks.
Yeah. I just loved like how obvious they were though in the first film, like the trench coaches hats, and you're like, oh, I wonder what they are.
Trench coaches. Yes. Trench coaches.
Oh, is that what I said? Sorry.
Maybe not. Maybe I was imagining it. Yeah, we got Extinction to watch.
That looks really good.
So, but we haven't watched it yet, so let's not talk about it.
And I wanted to watch Tau. Is that how you pronounce it? TAU on Netflix.
Yeah.
The one about like the AI and things.
Yeah, we're going to start like rationing our TV hours or something.
Oh,
I don't know how we're going to do it. Cool. So are we going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con trailers?
Like super duper quickly. So should we, we'll watch them all again because I know what you're like, your memory.
Sure.
So we had Glass, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, Aquaman, and Shazam.
Okay.
So because there was no Marvel this year, Everyone was like, DC won. And you're like, that's because Marvel went.
Right. No offerings.
No. But WB definitely had an amazing panel. And I was a little bit antisocial at that point, wasn't I? I was like, I need to watch all these trailers.
Still coming out live. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Aquaman. What did you think of this trailer then, Chris?
What do you think? What do you think of this trailer?
I am excited, obviously, because it's Jason Momoa. And I really like him as Aquaman. I really liked him in Justice League. I thought that was really good. It looks pretty cool. You've got Black Manta there. You've got his brother Orm, if that's his name, I think. You've got freaking sharks with laser beams on their head. You've got seahorses. The only thing that I am a bit worried about is I don't like sharks and underwater things. So I'm not sure whether I'm going to like this because it looks like there's like freaking dinosaurs. There was like a chompy thing and stuff.
Yeah.
But the cast looks amazing and the visuals, it looked pretty epic, but some of the the VFX and SFX and stuff was a little bit much for me, a little bit obvious. But then it's set under the sea, so it's like, how can you kind of go around that, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it's very obvious CGI. I think it could have looked a bit better. I like underwater, the look of underwater things.
Okay.
But the CGI look and everything, I wasn't sure about that. And yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Also, who was the lady? She looked kind of like, my initial thought when I saw her was like Poison Ivy.
And then, oh, really?
And then I started to think Ariel.
She just looked a little bit like Little Mermaid. She's Mira.
She's like his mate or something.
You kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not convinced. We'll see.
Shocking. Okay, next, Shazam? Shazam!
Shazam!
So what do you think of this trailer then, Chris?
I think it looks genuinely funny.
Yes.
I think it looks like the equivalent of sort of like an Ant-Man or something, you know, really sort of that kind of tone.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think Zachary Levi looks perfect for the role. So, yeah, I knew nothing about this, but watching the trailer, I was laughing out loud, and I think it looks really fun. So
that's crazy for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a DC film too.
That's good. That's so good.
Yeah, I really like the tone of this. It does look a whole lot lighter, a whole lot sillier, which is something that I think we need.
I think so.
I love how that there's still like Batman references and Superman references there though. That's kind of nice.
Superhero references, sure.
Yeah. And as you said, Zachary Levi seems like perfect for the role because he was like in Chuck, he was like the super nerd, wasn't he? So to then play an actual superhero is kind of cool. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a similar kind of thing really, isn't it?
Okay.
But just like a slightly different angle.
Yeah.
So he actually has powers in it, but in that he sort of had powers.
Well, yeah, he had like memory thingy, but Bobby. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see him kind of play like a 12 year old or something? Billy Batson? I don't know how old he is, but
I feel like he can do that.
Yeah. It's going to be like a big thing, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Like very Tom Hanks so, one. Yeah. That's going to be quite interesting. I loved like the superhero montage as well, like where they were trying to discover his powers and things. And when he flew up, he just kind of came back down.
Yeah, I think that can be a fun scene.
Looking forward to that one. And I really like the one where he was like walking along and he just went Shazam, and he just kind of turned.
Yeah. It's a powerful moment.
Yeah.
It feels powerful.
It does.
Now you're a superhero. So yes. Yeah, I think this could be quite big, you know?
Yeah. Okay, next. So Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. What did you think of this one?
I'm still not sure about Dumbledore.
Oh,
I'm not sure if I can claim that this is my Dumbledore.
Hashtag not my Dumbledore.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's growing on me. Jude Law, it'll work. I'm not sure. I think Grindelwald looks pretty good.
Why is Johnny Depp still in this film, though?
Yeah, I think he looks great for it. You know, I can't comment any of that stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, I think he looks good for the role and looks magical and stuff. So,
looks magical and stuff. Yeah.
I think I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I really enjoyed the first film, actually. Yeah. It was quite dark, though, but I loved, like, the beastie aspects and stuff.
I think that was the best bit.
Definitely. And there's a lot more new beasts in this, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, I literally thought Neverending Story at one point. Yeah. Like, it looks a bit like Falcor or whatever.
Oh, I love that film so much. And yeah, there was like these sphinx-looking cats with giant eyes. I don't know if you noticed them. They look pretty interesting.
That was a bit strange. Yeah, I'm not sure
about
that.
Mm. I'm kind of intrigued. I'll watch this.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
We're bound to watch this anyway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so. Definitely. So next up, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. I think that looks actually pretty amazing. And I was really surprised by the trailer, actually. I just think, the premise is a bit dumb, right? But it's kind of interesting because, it's true. Humans are destroying the Earth and stuff. But do we need these Titan things to save? I don't know how that kind of relates. But it looks amazing. Visually, the blues and the colours. There's really strong blues and there's really strong reds and stuff. And the cast looks great. It's Chandler, I can't remember his name, but he was in Friday Night Lights. So I really like that guy. I think he's great. Obviously, Millie Bobby Brown from 11, Strange Things. So yeah, I'm kind of excited about this one, strangely enough, because we both didn't really like King Kong.
No.
Well, Kong Skull Island, what it was.
Right.
And the Godzilla before this one wasn't that great because they killed Bryan Cranston off, spoilers.
Sure.
And it just kind of went downhill from there. But yeah, that's what do you think?
I don't usually like monster-type films.
Monster movies.
Movies. I just feel they lack kind of this context and kind of explanation for what's going on generally.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why? Why? But yeah, I 95 agree with things that you just said. 95%, I mean. Not 95
yeah,
random, just 95.
42.
Yeah, I think it looks really great. Visually, you're right, it looks stunning. I like the idea that the monsters here... I mean, Godzilla was supposed to be like a savior type, wasn't he? Is that not the thing? Like, he comes out of the ocean to save the city from the big bad monster that's also attacking it or something.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I'm not really sure. But, yeah, it seems like they're kind of in hiding. They're just kind of letting us get on with things.
Yeah.
And then we go in search for them to help us, which actually seems like quite a nice concept.
Yeah, an interesting angle.
Yeah, I think it's a much better concept than we usually get. So, yeah. I'm on board. I'll watch this film.
Shock locker. Right, next up, Glass.
So, yeah, I think M. Night Shyamalan can be a bit hit and miss, can't he?
It's either really, really good or just kind of meh.
Yeah, I think the trailer looks good visually.
Interesting, yeah.
I did find my kind of, I kind of found my brain wandering a bit.
Oh, that's not good.
Through the trailer
okay.
a little bit. Yes, I don't know, honestly, what's going to happen. Ooh. I mean, I hope it kind of surprises me in a good way.
Yeah.
I think the last film that we watched, Split, surprised me in a bad way.
Oh, really?
Like, it was really good up to a point, and then it changed, and it was like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. It was that big shoehorn for this film, right?
Yeah. So I think it's interesting, the whole kind of, like, these guys are supers, or we're not sure what they are, but we're going to find out. And then the whole hero versus villain thing, who turns out to be the good guys and bad guys and stuff like that. I don't know if maybe that's a bit too simplistic.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. What do you think?
Okay. I'm excited about this. I thought Unbreakable was really, really good. One of his undervalued films, I think. Not many people have seen it. So if you haven't, I would definitely recommend going to see it. And I really enjoyed Split, as you said, up until a certain time.
Yeah.
But James McAvoy was just fantastic. I mean, how he switches between Hedwig and the other person, and was it Hedwig, or did he have a pet called Hedwig? I don't know. The kid and the lady, and the different personalities. Yeah, I'm sure his name was it Hedwig? I don't know. Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see him with Bruce Willis' character and Samuel L. Jackson's character.
Yeah, I'm interested to see the dynamics and stuff.
Yes, I mean, it's an amazing cast, but are they going to pull it off properly?
Yeah.
Does that make... Yeah.
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 That's the concern, isn't it?
Yes.
So we'll see.
So after all those trailers, what would you say were your highlights?
Godzilla actually looks
pretty good. That is shocking.
I'd say Godzilla and Shazam, probably my highlights there. I think Glass could be good.
Yes.
We'll have to
see.
But
you never quite know until the end.
Yeah. Fantastic Beasts looks good.
Very Harry Potter-like.
Very
yes.
magical and stuff. And then not sure about Aquaman, but I'll give it a go.
Okay.
What about you?
Yeah, definitely. Same with you. Shazam, definitely top for me. Aquaman came very close, but I just like how funny it seems to be. Shazam, Aquaman.
Right.
And then, really surprised by Godzilla, actually. So quite looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it's a good trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. Okay, cool.
All right, so review?
No, we've still got to talk about reading, actually, very, very quickly.
Okay.
What have we read? I mean, we read on holiday, right?
So yes.
I was reading Travels by Michael Crichton. I really like Michael Crichton. I like a lot of his stories. I think he's great. I almost finished it. Didn't quite finish it. I'm like on the little bit at the end, like the after story bit.
Okay.
It's not a story. It's just about his literal
Epilogue?
Travels.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
and it's interesting because quite a lot of it is not travels. Like the first chunk of his book is about his experience in medical school. So he went to medical school.
Mm.
He has a background as a scientist.
Wow.
Clearly, okay. Because he went to medical school, right?
Yep.
I would consider them scientists. And then he talks about some of his travels to different places, but also his travels in kind of a metaphysical sense.
Okay.
And kind of
spiritual.
kind of like based on kind of drugs and trying to find auras and things like that. So it was really surprising to me. I wasn't expecting that at all. I was expecting quite a literal account of his travels.
Yeah.
But he's actually a very kind of a little bit out there person, which I wasn't really expecting. So he's kind of like a scientist, but he's also an author and a director. So he's obviously this kind of...
multifaceted.
Yeah, he's this melding of kind of science and art, right? Which is really interesting. But obviously that gives him kind of like a different perspective, because he has the scientific perspective. And he has like the perspective of, I need to see if this is real.
Yeah.
I'm also kind of... it also kind of interests me, and I want to explore it as a kind of artistic pursuit as well. So it's really interesting. I'd recommend a read, because there's a lot in there that does kind of make you think, like, are we doing this right, and should we kind of give these things a little bit more credit until they can be disproved and stuff, you know? So yeah, I found it really interesting, and I'm gonna finish reading that soon, although I struggle to read when I'm at home because yes. I don't know why, but like I can read fine on holiday, and then I get home and I'm like, I'm not gonna read anymore until the next holiday. So yeah, what about you?
I read Armada about Ernest Cline, who has previously done Ready Player One.
Yes.
It's a little bit different. It's about aliens and space and games and things.
Yeah, you're right. It's a little bit different. I mean, lots of the same subject matter, isn't it?
Yeah, really? Yeah, I suppose so. It's always that kind of, like, not one man against the world sort of thing, but kind of one kid against that will save the world and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, a lot of that kind of geek culture and everything, yeah.
Yeah, lots of, like, the old retro games and things, as well as like sci-fi films and TV and stuff. Yeah, it was very interesting, but I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. I just found it a little bit actually very predictable. Sorry.
I agree. I think it was a good book. I enjoyed it as well, but I don't think it was as groundbreaking
no.
as Ready Player One.
Yeah. Well, I feel like because Ready Player One was such an interesting concept that you could escape to like the oasis and things. And
yeah, and it's quite believable.
Yeah.
I think we could be going that way.
Oh. Interesting. And then I started The Handmaid's Tale book, which I don't know about anyone else has read it. I feel it's quite, I don't want to say rambly, but it's quite like an interesting.
Gatty.
Yeah. It's like, it's more like a diary account, which I know it is like a diary in the TV show. But I mean, she'll be doing one thing and then she'll have like her memories will be triggered by something and then it'll go into like a memory thing and
yeah, it's like a stream of consciousness.
Yeah,
type.
Exactly. And I'm a bit like confused about the start. I feel like I have to read a little bit more of it to kind of get into that kind of start, if that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe.
Hmm. Okay. But very good otherwise. Yes.
Cool.
Okay.
Good. Done with it. Home of the Hogs finally.
Yes.
How long has that been? 40 minutes? Great.
Wow. Okay. So quick Mission Impossible Fallout review.
Yes.
Your mission. Should you choose to accept it? I wonder, did you ever choose not to?
So Mission Impossible Fallout was released on the 25th of July in UK cinemas. This was directed by Christopher McQuarrie, who's previously done Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, so the previous one, installment. Okay. Jack Reacher, which also starred Tom Cruise, and The Way of the Gun. And I think he's most known for actually writing films, which is pretty intriguing. So this stars Tom Cruise as Ethan Hunt, Henry Cavill as August Walker, Bing Rames, as Luther Stickle, Simon Pegg as Benji Dunn, Rebecca Ferguson as Isla Forst, Sean Green as Solomon Lane, and Alec Baldwin as Alan Hunley. So the synopsis of the film is Ethan Hunt and the IMF team awful name, can I just say?
What does it stand for?
It's so like, the Impossible Mission Force, right?
It's crazy, isn't it? It's like not a good name.
Why is it not called Impossible Mission then? Again, I guess it sounds better as Mission Impossible. I don't know. Anyway, So they join forces with CIA assassin August Walker to prevent a disaster of epic proportions. Arms dealer John Lark and a group of terrorists known as the Apostles plan to use 3 plutonium cores for a simultaneous nuclear attack on the Vatican, Jerusalem, and Mecca in Saudi Arabia. When the weapons go missing, Ethan and his crew find themselves in a desperate race against time to prevent them from falling into the wrong hands. So, Chris, what are your initial thoughts going in and out of the film?
So going in, I think it looked great from the trailer. It didn't give too much away, and it seemed very much like a Mission Impossible film. So, you know, yeah. I was pretty much in. What about you?
This was kind of big for me because, you know, the whole moustache gate. And I was like, is it going to be worth the whole palaver about the moustache gate? And I saw the trailers, thought it looked amazing. Saw the cast on Graham Norton. And they were amazing. But then we heard about the ankle break. And yeah, I was just very intrigued about the film. And yeah, it's been a while since the last one, I think. 2 or 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
So I couldn't quite kind of remember about
it. I can't remember
it. But coming out, my initial thoughts coming out of the film, just a good, fantastic film. One of the best action films I've seen in a long, long time. Gripping action sequences, mind-blowing stunts, visually stunning, and an ace story.
Yeah, so I felt like the story might have been a little bit overcomplicated, personally.
Okay.
It was kind of hard to keep track of what was going on at times. Did you find that at all?
Yeah, but then I thought, am I being dumb? But kind of just kept going along with it.
I feel like that's what they were trying to make you think.
Okay.
Like, oh, we're actually really clever.
Right.
But yeah, because you can't keep track, right? So we're obviously being really clever. But
okay,
I
interesting.
I think they were just being a little bit obtuse with their story. Yeah, I think like if I had to recount and connect all the dots, it would take me a good 20 minutes to write it all out and work out what actually happened.
Yeah, it's one of those storylines though, isn't it? Because it's quite twisty and turny.
Yeah. I mean, it was all right, but I mean, I just felt like it was a little bit obtuse, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, overall, I really enjoyed it. Like you said, it was a good, fun action film and very much Mission Impossible. So yeah, good.
Good.
Yeah.
I got to say as well, our audience was quite a good audience as well. It was quite a packed screening.
Mm.
There was lots of like audience reaction, and there was even one guy after one scene, he went, yeah! And then yeah. Everyone laughed.
It was like a group, wasn't it? Like,
okay, right.
They were like doing a lot of the audience participation. Yeah. And everyone else was getting involved after that. So although there was a little bit of rustling at the start.
That guy
couldn't stop rustling.
No, I felt I was generally so close to going over and saying, look mate, please
stop rustling.
Please stop.
Yeah. What are you doing?
What are you doing? But then they have that, like, what's that film where that guy's like, shut up, crime? You know, when
was that Literature Code Super?
I think so. Someone like Q hops and he gets so mad, doesn't he? Just like beats them up. I kind of felt like I'd probably do that though and be like, oops,
dangerous.
Sorry. Yeah, so maybe not the best thing to go and say to someone. Yeah, so really good audience, I think.
Cool. So performances, characters.
Yes, I thought everyone was fantastic across the board, and I genuinely mean that.
Agreed. There was one thing that did bug me, and it comes back to the complexity of the story, I think. There were two bad guys, and one was called, like,
John
Lark. And one was called Lane. And I was like, yeah. I mean, it took me half the film to, like, realize there were two different people,
differentiate between them.
To get,
right.
Yeah, to realize, like, who was who and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just a bit annoying. Why can't you just give them different names? Like, why would you give them such similar names?
Good
anyway,
point.
Other than that, I really enjoyed the characters and performances. So
Tom Cruise, fantastic. You can tell the man gave literally his all to the performance. I mean, like, the stunts he did, the ankle thing. When we finally saw the ankle thing, I winced. I don't know about you.
Well.
And you know that was real.
It does add something to it.
It does,
The effort they put in, yeah.
Henry Cavill, again, fantastic. I feel like he should be the next Bond after this, right? Maybe.
Yeah, I can see that. Sure.
Thing, one of my favourites, you know, the guy who plays Luther. Yep. There's just something super sweet about him, right? You kind of just want to give him a hug.
Sweet guy, yeah.
He's cool. Simon Pegg, always love a bit of Simon Pegg, although I feel like he's getting a little bit typecast as the British nerdy person.
I feel like maybe he wasn't the
comic
relief as much in this one. He was trying to be a bit more serious, maybe.
Which is good, because
Which is good, I think.
Because it can be a bit too much sometimes.
Maybe, yeah.
Rebecca Ferguson as Isla. Isla? I'm not going to, I don't know which one it is.
Isla,
but,
I think, yeah.
Isla, yeah. Sure. She was great. I thought she was, like, how she saved the two from something was very hilarious. I'm not going to spoil anything because sure. It's a spoiler-free review. But yeah, Tom Cruise's character in Henry Cowell, she kind of intercepted something and it was rather funny. Okay,
I'm not
never mind.
Sorry.
But yeah, I think she's a quite like a kick-ass character and it was kind of cool to see another like lady spy sort of thing. And Alec Baldwin. Oh, Alec Baldwin. He's another huggy person, I feel like.
He's great. Isn't
yeah.
He? Yeah, he was really,
he played
like a really likable person. I don't know if it was because I feel like usually he's a bit more comedic and stuff.
Okay.
And this he was very
yeah.
kind of straight faced and likable.
Yeah. And then we have the villain of the piece, so Sean Green as Solomon Lane. He plays bad guy really well, I think.
Yeah.
And his voice is very interesting. I don't know if you found that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that, sure. that was the cast. They were great. I really enjoy the performances.
Cool.
So, story.
Story then. So I had a couple of concerns
about
it.
You have raised your issues with these.
Yeah. I mean, I have literally two concerns while I was watching it. And one of them is the whole thing about them being anarchists. The bad guys were anarchists.
Okay.
But I've kind of felt like that was a little bit dumb because anarchists are generally perceived as people looking for absolute chaos, right?
Right.
But really, they're just anti-authority.
Are they not just terrorists?
But so they want minimal control systems, right? They want free markets and maximum personal liberty for everyone.
Okay.
So, which means nuking people goes against their values.
Interesting. Right.
As it does for most people, obviously. But then, of course, like, people do horrible things in the name of all sorts of different things. So I think, like, that was a little bit confusing for me, but also I kind of get it as well. So anyway, that was a concern.
I want to know these villain psyches.
Yeah.
What is driving them?
But I did think the idea of kind of nuking all the different
religious sites. Yeah.
Well, the main three, I guess, religious people is, I mean, I'm not saying it's a good idea, but I think it's an interesting idea because it brings them together, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
But then
so.
I suppose who does it bring them together against, though?
Those guys, right?
Does it bring them together against the secularists? Because that would not be good. I don't, that's kind of how I see they're going, and I don't think that would be a very good result.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, and my second concern was like watching them handling the plutonium cores. And I was like, that's got to be really stupid. Like, you're going to get a dose of radiation there. Like,
yeah.
But then I was actually reading up on it, and turns out plutonium gives off mostly alpha radiation, which it doesn't penetrate very well. So it doesn't actually make it through your skin.
Okay.
So it's only dangerous, well, unless you around it all the time, or you inhale it or ingest it.
Mm.
And then because it's got such a long half-life, it's dangerous because it stays in your system forever.
Forever? So, wow.
Like 87 years or something like that.
But yeah.
Is the half-life, but then pretty much forever. So.
Science lesson with Chris.
Sorry, but yeah, I thought that was kind of, so that didn't turn out to actually be a genuine concern, I guess. Like, you could handle it for a little while and you'd probably be okay, I guess. Which is interesting. So yeah, overall really enjoyed it. I thought it had a really fast pace, lots of great action scenes, and pretty much ridiculous, but you know, in a Mission Impossible style.
Yes.
I mean, they seem to choose the most complex way to get the job done, right? But
that always happens.
That actually came up as part of the story. That's why the other guy was in it, because they were like, he just gets the job done. You guys mess around too much. That was really good. What about you?
I thought, very gripping story. There was a lot of times where I was literally like,
yeah.
are they gonna make it out, sort of thing. Lots of twists and turns, but as you said, I was a little bit confused.
Yeah.
But then I put that down to me being dumb, sort of thing.
I don't think that's fair.
Kept me on the edge of the seat a lot of the film, so I thought that was pretty good. But there was a slightly predictable thing that I'm not going to say anything about, but yes.
Can you give us a clue?
A predictable twisty, I thought.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Okay, I'll talk to you about it later.
Okay.
Yeah. So visuals and soundtrack.
Yeah, I think it looked great. Very cool sequences. Choreographed fights, parachuting and flying helicopters and stuff like that.
Yes.
You know, very cool. All the good stuff that we've come to expect, really.
I read something about, you know, the guys who do the focus on the cameras.
Focus pullers, yes.
Yes, those folks. They actually jumps out of the plane with Tom Cruise.
Okay.
I was like,
so they were,
wow,
like skydiving.
That's actual dedication.
Yeah.
Cool. Because, I mean, I've heard that focus pulling is like super hard to do at the best of times. So imagine trying to do that while like falling.
Yeah.
That's insane. I just think the dedication to this film from all people was just phenomenal.
I think it's really interesting how you focus, because you have to know what's the each end of the focus. Like, yeah. From focused on this end to focused on the other end. You have to be precise, but you also have to do it smoothly. Yeah, it's difficult. Difficult stuff.
A real skill. Very underappreciated, I feel like, in film.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Go, guys.
Well done.
But otherwise, yeah, I thought it was... The cinematography was like completely stunning. There were some scenes that were great. Like they went into a club and there was like this corridor and it was like, you know, in the fun fair where it's got all the mirrors and stuff. Mm. It was just amazing. It reminded me a lot of Christopher Nolan films in places, especially with like the action sequences. There was this car chase in Paris and it reminded me a lot of The Dark Knight for some reason.
Okay, interesting.
As you said, the action sequences were phenomenal. Really loved the car chase around Paris. It was a really extended action sequence because sometimes you get quite a lot of like high intensity, but for not for long. But this, it just kind of kept going.
Yeah, and also they kept jumping around. Like they went, so they started in the USA and they were like in Paris and London as well, weren't they?
Yeah, and then they went to some random place.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah. There was a lot going on in this film.
The helicopter sequence, as you said, was amazing. Yeah. That was really good. And I really loved, as you've seen in the trailer, so I'm not going to spoil anything here, there was a fight in the men's toilets.
Yeah,
and cool. That was great. There were, I mean, great to see the choreography. Finally, great to see like the Henry Cavill like reloading his arms. That was great. But yeah, there was like comedy to it as well as this like brutal fight and it was really good, they broke it up and made it
interesting than just a straight up fight.
As we said, the stunts, I mean, wow. Ankle scene, I mean, just the amount that they gave to this film was phenomenal. There wasn't much soundtrack. There probably was, but I wasn't really focused on it.
I definitely noticed the Mission Impossible.
Yes,
kind of...
That's what I was just going to say. It was great to hear the tune again.
Yeah.
It's such an iconic tune. And then when it came up right at the end, it was like,
it's just like the riff, wasn't it? Like in different formats.
Like yeah. Like variations on it and stuff. Yeah,
it was good.
But yeah, I think it was more, I mean, I love the story and everything, but I feel like action films, they've got quite a lot of like visually amazing stuff to them and they don't get that recognition because they're action films. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I feel like this should be appreciated a little bit more, maybe?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's because like the subject matter isn't deemed worthy.
Yeah.
So then it doesn't get the recognition it deserves for other elements of the film.
No. But I feel like for stunts and for cinematography and stuff, this should definitely get something. I mean,
I'm bored with that. Sure.
Okay. So to round this off and give the listeners our ratings.
Let's do it. Who wants to go first? You want to go first?
Oh, okay. I said all the thumbs up.
All the thumbs up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I genuinely really enjoyed this film, actually. I think it may be one of my favourite Ocean films, actually.
Really?
I thought it was really, really good. And possibly one of the best Mission Impossible ones. I feel like...
Yeah,
like,
I'd say that's probably true, yeah.
This possibly peaks Bond for me. It's much more enjoyable, I think. Because I... Don't get me wrong, and my dad will disown me if I say anything bad against Bond.
No, I know what you mean.
But it's quite... I don't want to say dour, but they're quite dark and...
Yeah, it's much more dark and much more real in Bond now, which is weird, because it never used to be like that, did it?
Exactly. And
but this is much more... It's still got that kind of fun aspect to it.
And spyness and the face masks and things. And yeah, it's much more enjoyable, I think. So yeah, two huge thumbs up for me.
Interesting. I'm going to give it one thumbs up.
What?
It's still one thumbs up, you know. That's a thumb. That's a solid thumb, okay?
Right.
It was fun. It was well made, well acted. I just felt the story was slightly obtuse.
Okay.
But then, I mean, it's Mission Impossible, so I guess you got to expect some obtuseness. But yeah, I'd recommend it if you like the previous Mission. I'd recommend it if you like the previous Mission Impossible films.
Yeah.
If you don't like those, probably don't watch this. So I mean, it goes without saying, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Okay.
Good film, I would recommend. Depends what you like.
Okay.
Cool.
So This week, we're joined by special guest Sarah Grangley, who is a British comic writer and illustrator who's previously done Our Super Adventure, Kim Reaper, Rick and Morty, Lil Poopy Superstar, I got that right, hooray, and Pizza Witch. She's got very distinctive art, and I really like it. It's really sweet. I've got Our Super Adventure, which I brought at Leamington Comic Con, where I interviewed her, and it's like all about her adventures with a boyfriend and things. I really like her illustrations and stuff. So if you're a huge comic book fan and Lil Poopy and Rick and Morty fan, definitely worth picking up her books to go and check those out. And I really hope you enjoy the interview. Right, so hello, we're with Sarah Grayley, who does Lil Poopy Star. It's really good. So first question, how did you actually get into the comic book scene? Because it's pretty intense, isn't it?
I did a lot of webcomics for a really long time. So I do like this diary comic series called Our Super Adventure about me and my boyfriend. So I was usually just doing those. And also like a few other bits and pieces, like a comic called Rent Quest. And I just kept doing them, and I got noticed by the right people. My now editor at Oni Press, Ari Yarwood, got in touch with me, and she was like, "Hey, I've seen your comics. Like, do you want to make comics together?" And I was like, "Yes, please." And it's kind of just gone from there.
Yeah. So how did you get involved with Oni Press and obviously Rick and Morty, Lil Poopy Star?
Ari saw my comics, and I was like, she was like, "Do you want to pitch something to Oni Press?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm actually really enjoying the Rick and Morty comic." It was kind of like a throwaway comment, but she was like, "Cool, well, we're thinking about doing a spin-off miniseries. Would you like to pitch something?" So, it just kind of happened like that.
Yeah. So who would you say your favourite Rick and Morty character is?
I really like Jerry, because he's awful.
He's a bit depressed at the moment, though, isn't he?
Yeah, which makes it it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Poor Jerry.
So what have you enjoyed most about your career so far?
At the moment, me and my partner have been doing a lot of travelling, so it's been really cool.
You went to New York Comic Con recently, didn't you?
Yeah, that was really awesome. And we just got back from CTE2 in Chicago, so we're a little jet lagged, but it's been amazing travelling places and just meeting everyone. So I love that. And I'm friends and fans of like a lot of other comic writers. That's really cool.
So what would you say your favourite book is, if you could pick one?
Well, on the table?
Yeah.
I got to say Kim Reaper. It's like my newest and my most precious, my baby. it's Kim Reaper's The Story of a Part-Time Grim Reaper. I'm currently working, I've got the first arc out now called Grim Beginnings, but I'm currently working on a second arc at the moment, so I'm very hyped up on Kim Reaper right now.
So where can we find you on social media if anyone wants to look up your handles or anything?
If you search Sarah Grayley, my website's really good because I didn't do it, my boyfriend did it. It's got all my social media links. So it's Sarah Grayley, it's just Grayley. I'm just usually Sarah Grayley art at everything.
Fair enough. Anything else coming out soon, or is it just your Kim Reaper book?
I just finished up working on a graphic novel for Scholastic Graphics called Glitch. It's a young adult book about video games and girls being awesome. But that's coming out next year, so keep an eye out for that.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for the interview.
Oh, thanks for interviewing me, yeah.
Hawker topic time. So I see you guys on Twitter. We're about to record our next podcast episode featuring Mission Impossible Fallout review. So we'd like to know your favourite moustaches in film for this week's Hulk topic. Obviously, we've had Moustache Gate from Justice League and Mission Impossible.
Sure.
With Henry Cavill. I particularly liked the moustache. I don't know what you thought. Do you have
great.
Any opinions on the moustache?
I like a nice moustache, okay. Don't judge me.
Okay. I saw a great poster earlier. Someone edited the Mission Impossible Fallout poster, because on the back of the poster there's someone like with a parachute, okay. And they put like his moustache on the back as the parachute, because you know when they yeah, with the string, and it was great. If you haven't seen it, go do check it out. It's so funny. So Chris, what would you pick as your favorite moustache from film?
I would say Sam Elliott in The Big Lebowski has a very impressive moustache. It's quite large.
I must Let's just Google just this, maybe.
It looks like it could just leave his face and walk away at any moment. Do you really? Know what I mean? It's got that kind of almost small animal alive quality about it, right. Which I think is very impressive.
Got his own personality.
Sure.
Yeah, isn't he quite well known for... Like his
moustache,
though.
Yeah, he's been in other things, and yeah. It's well known for it, I think. Also, I would say Borat's kind of funny. Well, yeah, it's just a moustache.
It's nice.
Say Hook.
Oh, nice Hook pick. Hook. Okay, Hook from Hook.
This is very manicured.
Yes.
Very manicured handlebar
You
moustache.
Like those kind of like beards that have attention, don't you? Yeah, I remember you trying to grow one at one point.
I don't know if I could grow one, to be honest.
Okay, interesting.
But yeah, I do find it quite entertaining.
Okay.
And yeah, I feel like I saw something once where there was like a group of older men that were like getting together and just growing moustaches and things, and it was quite enjoyable.
Okay.
Idea.
I
feel like I would join a group like that when I'm old, you know?
Interesting.
Just silver moustaches.
Right.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't know where this podcast is going, but okay. Done?
Done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. My picks, I would probably say Ben Stiller's character from Dodgeball.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty impressive. Like, it's more like a handlebar, I would say, than a handlebar moustache. Are there different, like...
Handlebars where it kind of curls upwards,
oh, because his goes kind of round and down.
Yeah. I don't know what that's called.
Are there, like, different types of moustaches?
I'm sure they've all
with
got
different names.
And very clear classifications.
I feel like we need to do some research
Precise
into this.
Precise lengths and things, you know. It's very important.
Also, Ron Burgundy from Anchorman. That's a pretty impressive moustache right there.
Cool.
So, should we head to the comments on Twitter?
Let's. Bottoms up, guys. Bottoms up.
So, Tom at CyberChef said, the only moustaches I envy, and it's a gif of SpongeBob and Patrick with seaweed moustaches. Okay, very nice.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Samir Alam at Samir Alam 94 put a gif of Chris Pratt from Guardians of the Galaxy. Next up is Matthew Fisher at CouchPotato_MVP, who has Ron Burgundy with a nice gif of him kind of growling, I would say.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of like a...
Yeah. Marcus at the Marco Guy said Sam Elliott in everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
Pretty much. Right. I am Jack's regular musings at I am Jack's musings. Gotta go for White Goodman in Dodgeball. It's better than all other movie moustaches and it knows it.
Nice. It's got a personality of its own, guys.
So Jack of the Geekstalk at Jack's Geekstalk said Sam Elliott in virtually everything he's ever done. And that gif is, that wins top gif award of the day, I think. I don't know if you can see it, Chris.
Yes, I can.
But it's like him and a sparkly moustache.
It's like
it's so beautiful.
Vampire being.
Yeah. So 20th Century Geek _pod at 20th Century Geek said, going for a twofer. Burt Reynolds in Smokey and the Bandit and everyone in Tombstone. Wow. Yeah, definitely westerns.
Westerns,
pretty significant.
For sure. Yeah.
And I think the one who wins, because I completely forgot about this moustache, but it was pretty epic, is Ken Major at Ken Major 83. Branner's Pyro.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat that. Well done, Ken. You win again.
You win again. That's pretty impressive. Yeah, that's got to be fake, right? That's not a real moustache.
I don't know. I mean, it's not the same colour as the head, but then maybe they're not usually. So.
Interesting. False Starts Podcast at False Starts Pod said, they've just replied with many gifts, which I'm not quite sure which they all are.
Just all of these gifts.
Yes. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up. I don't know what that film is, but that guy has a moustache. And then moving on to, is that Burt Reynolds, I think?
Oh, no.
And then you have
Charlie Chaplin. Sure.
I know that
sure,
one.
Sure.
One day I'll punch you right in the face and then you'll respect me. Not quite sure who that is. And then we have Borat, of course. Great success.
Reaction mash.
Garnished with a guy in a nappy looking thing. Who is this guy?
Looks kind of like Sean Connery. Is it Sean Connery?
It just kind of look like it. Guys, let us know what these films are. I'm clearly failing.
It's more than the screen.
Yeah.
Okay. It's I could zoom. Hold on.
That's our excuses.
Yeah. Just making excuses now. I'm pretty sure that's Sean Connery, right?
I think so. Maybe.
I don't know. All the doubt.
And we have Martin White at the Movie Nerd 86 said, Bill the Butcher's moustache is also a good shout. Yes. Anything westernized, I think they have great moustache. It's always like the villains with the moustaches, though, isn't it? Really, in westerns?
I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Like the very posh kind of English guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
Chris 737 at K Vaughan 737. Said Sam Elliott's anything really, but I'm partial to the Big Lebowski. The dude abides. I think Sam Elliott may be our winner for this. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Pyro is also very. Oh, versus guys, right? You got to do be the decider. Sam Elliott or Pyro.
Kenneth Branagh.
Steve Toogood at the Toogood 91 said this may take a bit of thought, but then really loved Bill the Butcher. Martin White at the Movie Nerd 86, sorry, just said the kind of Twitter feed kind of does things a bit weirdly.
Yeah, they're not in the same order for me.
But yeah, has to be Kurt's marvelous tash in The Hateful Eight for me. Good pick. Can't be a bit of Kurt Russell, really, can you? Chris at Jal Nerd said, has to be Bennett, played by Vernon G. Wells in 1985's Commando. He's like Freddie Mercury gone bad. Are you seeing this GIF? It's quite funny.
I can't see it. It's not showing up on mine. Show me. I love it.
Definitely Freddie Mercury style.
Yeah.
Nice. So thank you everyone for sending in your suggestions.
Yes, thank you guys.
So much fun. I know this one was a little bit silly, but it's a bit of fun, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
it was either that or Tom Cruise's best role.
I don't know if you'd call it exciting, but yeah. Tom Cruise's best role.
Yes. Well, yeah. I said it was either gonna be the mustache.
Yeah, I think you can go for something quite dry. That. But it's kind of fun. Just have a little.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed it anyway, guys. So, once again, thank you very much for getting involved.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. I really hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us in any future Hook topics or let us know what we should be watching on Netflix and stuff, then how do they go about doing that, then, Chris?
So, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram /WeHaveAHulkPod. We're also on youtube.com/WeHaveAHulk.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a website, a blog.
Yes.
If you will.
If you will.
www.WeHaveAHulk.co.uk. Is there anything I've forgotten, Nicola?
DLive.
DLive. We're also on Steemit platform, DLive, if you will. You can check out some of our videos there. We might do some more of those at some point. We'll see.
If we have time.
Sure.
Yes. So sorry for the delay in this episode. I basically have a trade event twice a year with work, and it gets crazy, and I have no time to do anything other than work. So, yes. Yes.
So our next episode, when do you think that'll be?
Oh, I don't know, but it may feature the Equalizer 2 review.
Yeah, very good.
Yes, there's a Cineworld Unlimited screening of this next week, so very excited about that.
Cool.
Apparently the first ever sequel Denzel Washington has ever done, ever.
That's interesting.
Which is bizarre, right?
I guess does he always get killed or something?
Yeah, he does a lot of like self-sacrifice. But yeah, amazing actor, love Man on Fire. And what was the one, Safe House with Ryan Reynolds? I think that's great, actually. Yeah. We like that film. Yes. So, once again, thank you so much for listening. If you are a new listener and have enjoyed this episode, please go check out our back catalogue with many, many interviews from like DC and Marvel and stuff, if you enjoy that kind of thing.
Yes.
Also some comic book artists and writer lately.
Sure. Feel free to subscribe as well on iTunes or,
YouTube. Or, this is super professional.
Wherever. So, yes. Podomatic or whatever.
Okay. Yes.
And leave us like nice reviews, because that's always nice.
Yeah, that would be quite nice. I don't think we've had a review for a while, so please.
It was a nice review.
But yeah, if you're a returning listener, thank you so much. We genuinely do love you. So thank you very much.
Thanks very much, guys.
So, hope to see you next time.
Bye.